Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We're always in sync, whether we're talking about the swim team we're on or that one boy band. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Not with us today is our twin sister and super producer, Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. Look, the moonlight shows us for what we really are. We are not among the living, so we cannot die. Neither are we dead. For too long I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it. Too long I've been starving to death and haven't died. I feel nothing, not the wind on my face, nor the spray of the sea, nor the warmth of a woman's flesh. You best start believing in podcasts that spell kids with a Z, Miss Turner. You're in one. Today we're here to talk about episode 76 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, that is season 4, episode 16, going by production code order. We're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called Grandpa's Sister. Original air date, October 16th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Phil's twin sister, Mitzi, not to be confused with Mitski, we've already made that mistake, comes for a visit, bringing along an unsettled conflict between them. Special Wikipedia notes, guest star for this episode, Phyllis Diller as the voice of Mitzi, Mitski as the voice of Mitski and in real life. And yeah, shout outs to the both of them, and shout outs to these important people who made this episode possible. And today that is Christine Kolosov, who directed this, and Craig Bartlett, showrunner, show author, and writer, as it turns out, with episode 76A. So shout out to those folks as well. Let's talk about this episode. Harry, let's get your thoughts first. What did you think about this one?
Thank you. Well, first of all, I have to say I'm so surprised it took us 76 episodes for you to bust out your legendary Jeffrey Rush impression, but I'm glad that we finally got there. I like this episode a lot, actually. I think that I believe last week talked about some other Craig Bartlett episodes and how they almost feel like a how-to, right, on how to construct a almost perfect Hey Arnold episode. This is almost his take on like another grandpa episode, because although it feels very fresh in the moment, it is actually very much fitting into the template of grandpa episodes, right? Right down to the fact that there's a rivalry, grandpa is acting immature for his age, Arnold has to step in and sort of be the mentor, subverting the traditional relationship between a mentor-mentee and a parental figure and a child. And by the end, Arnold has sort of successfully helped grandpa learn a lesson, and they all have come to a renewed understanding and come together as a family, right? So it hits all the beats. What I really love about this episode is how, I guess I said it already, but how fresh it feels in spite of that, right? Like, I think Mitzi is a character who works so well in the context of this universe that I think I said while we were watching, it's almost a shame that she didn't come up earlier, right? I would have loved if she had been a recurring character. Maybe they couldn't get Phyllis Diller, who absolutely crushes it in this role, to come back or to do that. Maybe they just didn't have the idea. Either way, I really love plumbing grandpa's sort of backstory for gems like this one. I think it works every time they do it. I just think that giving grandpa a sister and having her be as dynamic and as sort of mischievous and funny and zany as grandpa himself is such a great way to color in his characterization and to create an episode that's really dynamic feeling, right? Like, I love that Mitzi doesn't take any of it lying down, right? Like, this isn't sort of a asynchronous duel of Will's like it was in Helga's Nanny or something, right? Mitzi gives it back and actually, in fact, outmaneuvers Phil himself, which she would because she is the older child who is 6 minutes older, as she notes. And then I really love the overarching message here, right? Like, I really love Pooter, hilarious name for a dog, first of all. And I love this idea that Grandpa is such a grudge holder. We already knew this about him. Mitzi being his sister is exactly as much of a grudge holder. They haven't talked to each other for 70 years, maybe 71, who's counting. And of course, Arnold steps into the role to set things right. And in the process, it's a really sort of heartening episode about how it does what a lot of the Grandpa episodes do, right? Where it says, like, it's never too late to put aside a grudge. It's never too late to learn something new. And it's even the people who are with you all your life who sort of like have that relationship with you that can still teach you things and still help you change and grow as a person, right? It's like, I think that traditionally the idea of a character like Phil would be that he was set in his ways. And in fact, Act One Phil always plays into that stereotype, right? That like, well, Phil has been this way for his entire life. He is never going to change. He is never going to learn anything. He is constantly comically missing the point of the stories that unfold around him. But thanks to Arnold and Arnold's help and Arnold as the sort of great human being that Phil raised him to be, Phil is himself able to grow and change, just like Arnold is growing and changing, almost at the same rate, right? As if learning and growing and changing is never actually something that ends. It's just something that continues. And, you know, I got a little misty-eyed at the ending of this one when Arnold opens back up that book of Phil and Gertie, their scrapbook. And now there are new pictures of he and Mitzi and Phil enjoying their time together. And then he closes the book and it says Phil and Mitzi and Arnold. It's so sweet. Aww. So, yeah, I think it's a really great episode. I wish we had gotten a little bit more border interaction because they just sort of tease us a little bit with that. She's just sort of sitting there. She doesn't interact with Pookie very much either. I would have loved to have seen some more of that. Although I do really love that grandma is just characteristically so fine with everything that's going on, right? Mitzi moves in and she's just like, oh yeah, you can sleep in our bed. That's great. And Phil's like, what? He's like hitting the roof, right? So yeah, really strong characters, really dynamic episode. Just, I think that in the sort of larger framing that I keep coming back to in episode or season 4 of Hey Arnold, I really love episodes that are sort of like, they're taking what we know and love about Arnold and just sort of like exploring what more they can find in that, right? This is the sort of episode that makes me think that there could have been way more seasons of Hey Arnold, right? Which is not always the case with season 4. So, yeah, I think I really like this one, and I really want to hear what you guys have to say about it as well.
Yeah, definitely. Really well said. And I'm glad that even the dog got a shout out. It cannot be understated how much Harry likes Pooter. But with that in mind, Emily, let's turn to you. What did you think about this episode?
Yeah, I think this is a really fun episode. Harry crushed the messaging part of it. And so I don't really feel like I need to touch on that much. But the fun of this episode is just Grandpa as like Wile E. Coyote. Where we've seen Helga kind of in that role before. I think Seth, our buddy Seth, pointed out that type of comparison and Tom and Jerry style cartoons, just old school Cartoon Network stuff where characters are chasing each other around and getting into all sorts of crazy antics. And yeah, so I think it's fun to see Grandpa kind of meet his match here in his twin sister, who's older than him by 6 minutes. And plan out this whole like evil mastermind strategy, the doomsday device, to fix her butt good and jettison her ass out of the house into the hornet's nest. He's really got quite a bunch of things up his sleeve in this episode. So I think it's just really funny, super funny to see that he even tried out some of that mastermind plan on Oscar, who it quickly cuts to being stuck out in the tree in the hornet's nest. Just for like 1 second, it cuts over to him. And yeah, Grandpa's just so hilarious. He's my favorite character probably ever in fictional character history. So just having him read really funny lines and getting super angry at his sister, like over the dinner table when he's like, "That's it, Mitzi, I've had it up to here." And then he has to like run to the bathroom. it's just really funny. He's basically destroying his own boarding house just to like get even with her over this poor lost puppy, Pooter. Really, truly devastating story, backstory with the dog and the way they like film the flashback there and see little Grandpa and little Mitzi walking around and trying to find their lost dog. And then they see the milk truck guy. Okay, we all have to move on because we're all going to get teary-eyed if we talk about that anymore. But yeah, other than that, a very funny episode. And I think Mitzi, all of them, I think she's kind of like Simpson's character, which I think fits so well with Grandpa, obviously, who is Simpson's celeb with Dan Castellaneta. So I don't know. She was kind of reminding me of like Marge's sisters or something in The Simpsons. And she's got that tough as nails, like smoky voice, New Yorker accent kind of, or East Coast style. And yeah, just really funny to see them interact and that they can get over this huge grudge they've both been holding on to for however many 70 years long. And also the moment Harry pointed out at the end also really got to me, where Arnold has a huge smile on his face and he closes the photo album and he wrote his own name, Arnold, on the tape to like add it to the Mitzi and Grandpa names of the photo album. I think I've probably said all my notes that I have in front of me, but basically, yeah, fun Tom and Jerry episode, and Grandpa's just the best character ever. So a really fun one.
Yeah, I also had a lot of fun with this one, and I'm also not going to talk a whole lot about Pooter, because as somebody who has had a dog of his put down in his lifetime, that will bring up some uncomfy feelings. So we're going to sidestep past that. But I also, yeah, I really particularly enjoyed this episode. This is one that I had less of a good memory about compared to the episode immediately after this that we'll eventually talk about. But I was a little nervous at first because Grandpa, his energy came out very demonstrably. It felt a little more like there's always that edge in the episodes where Grandpa is up against something or someone, like someone from his past. A former, you know, the Smythe Higginses of the world. And it was literally as I was writing down, just like, I don't know how I feel about this, because he's like got it out for his sister and like, I feel like he's going to kill her or something. But it's like, as I was writing that, he slides back into the sort of, I think the Wile E. Coyote energy is actually a really good characterization for it. And, you know, sometimes there's always that, there's an element of goofy sort of scheming that comes with any time Grandpa is, you know, up against something, when he's learning to play golf, to face down Big Bob in an extremely low stakes engagement, or he's, you know, coaching Arnold, to be a good eater, or he's playing, checkers with somebody, you know, somebody in the park or something. There's always this sort of, not like aloofness, but there is this sort of spaciness that comes with Grandpa, where he's committed to as much to undergoing the thing as he is to being a cartoon character, which is great. That's, I mean, whether he's the Wile E. Coyote or the Roadrunner, and in this case, he's very much the Wile E. Coyote, and that got to be a really fun thing to watch. And I also just very much enjoy sibling based stories in the show, TV episodes in general, in movies, any sort of works. You know, hearing, kind of hearing about sibling related trauma or strife, and then learning from each side kind of what that conflict is. And then, you know, a lot of the times that, as it is here, even just sort of restating the source of, you know, where this pain came from. It was much about recognizing it as it is to, like, digging deep and actually working through it. And, you can see it coming from a mile away, because at the start, he's like, oh, what happened on November 13th, 1927? I don't know. Good night, Arnold. It's like, well, okay, we'll get there eventually. So in as much as we can unravel over the course of an 11 minute cartoon episode, you know, I like the sibling relationship that was covered. And I agree that, you know, times like this where we're sort of gesturing at a broader Hey Arnold expanded cinematic universe, it makes you think, you know, oh, they could have made so many more seasons of this series if they really wanted to. But I'm extremely content with what we have, and then some, and I, including this episode, I really like this one.
Yeah, I really liked what you, I actually really liked what both of you said, but especially the stuff about family, right? Like, I think that there is a distinctly different energy here, because Mitzi is actually Phil's sister, as opposed to just an old rival or just an old friend or somebody from his past, especially like with the Helga Olga stuff that we've gone through in the past, with the Patakis, even with Arnold's family himself. Like, family is a very prevalent motif in Hey Arnold, right? And it definitely lends a weirdly high stakes to this episode for being as funny as it is, right? Like, I was very touched by just how thrilled Arnold very clearly was to have Mitzi in his life again, right? Like, to Arnold, this is like a long lost relative, of which he does not have many, right? And they never really explicitly call that out, but it is very much in the background of this episode. And I really like that this episode is also very committed to the idea that it is so worthwhile to overcome those grudges, or to sort of like make the effort to create bridges, right? And overcome old familial strife, right? Like, I even thought it was really touching that the sort of like, there is no like, sort of like MacGuffin to get Mitzi to come into the boarding house, right? They're literally just like, oh, I just wanted to meet Arnold. I think I should be in Arnold's life, and that's important to me, and so I'm going to do it. And so she is the person who makes the initial overture to overcome that, right? And I found that very touching too, right? And it lends itself weirdly well to, I'll talk about it for just a second. We don't have to go over it too well, but like, it, when we get to the source of Mitzi and Phil's disagreement, it is like, I think that we are sort of expecting it to be comedic in the way that a lot of the feuds that are in Grandpa's life have been sort of pointedly absurdist and sort of like ridiculous that anybody would hold a grudge that long. And it's not, right? Like, it's just a legitimate source of trauma for both of them that is hurtful. And unfortunately, like, very believably something that would drive a wedge between two people, maybe not for 71 years, right? But something that, especially if you have a sibling and you have a sort of less than perfect contentious relationship with that sibling in the first place, I wouldn't know what that's like, because I have a perfect relationship with my sibling, because we're more evolved people, I guess, than that. But I can sympathize with the rest of you plebs who maybe don't have that sort of relationship. I'm just kidding. And so I really like it. I really like that, like, it, in a very classic Hey Arnold way, it sort of, it's using the template that we're familiar with and the characters we're familiar with to go a little bit further, right? And sort of gesture at what that template was always meant to be sort of telling us about in the first place, right? Like, it becomes about more than just what previous Grandpa episodes have been about. It's been about the sort of importance of healing as a family when that's possible, because of what that does for everyone involved, right? So that's something I really like about this episode.
I like that point a lot, because I'm also now thinking about other Grandpa episodes with all his other rivals. And they definitely play most of his rivals in, like, what, in the checkers and, gosh, what else? The Pond, Tour de Pond, and Smythe Higgins. They have grudges between them in a way that Grandpa's held on to in more of like an insignificant way, or in a way that's like, oh, this guy beat me once way back when, but like not necessarily something that the viewer would be like, oh yeah, this is this makes sense to have this type of grudge for that long. Or it's more played at for laughs, I think, with some of those, and then gets into his like character development through that. But in this episode, I think they do a good job of showing like that trauma of losing their dog, and literally losing the dog completely as kids after like searching for him. They show that in a way that's like really touching and emotional, and like the flashback scene is like this totally switched up emotional side of the episode that otherwise we don't really see much of. It's more just like, we're having fun and we're scheming around the house. But that's all I wanted to say, I guess. I thought it was a good point, Harry.
Yeah, and what I really like about how they resolve it is that there isn't really a trick to the resolution either, right? Like, Arnold is just about literally, he just says, like, hey, like, the reason why that affected you so much and the reason why you were so angry with one another isn't because it's either of your faults. It's because you were both grieving and traumatized and you were looking for an outlet for that rage and sadness that came with this trauma. And that just means that you actually have something in common, which is that you both cared about this thing. And that's how he reconciles it, right? It's kind of beautiful, right? Because it's not like it's not like he found sort of a loophole to get them out of having this feeling for one another, right? It's not like that one episode of Avatar, The Last Airbender, when it turns out that it was like neither of the ancient tribes' faults. Do you remember that episode, Cody? It's not a very good episode of that. I think it's maybe the worst episode of Avatar, but...
Avatar Kyoshi made an appearance in that episode,
yeah,
right?
I believe so.
Yeah, so it is ostensibly not the worst episode
of
the series.
Down, boy. We don't need another Lorenzo's mom.
She's great!
Yeah, she is great. Okay, she's also very big. But I really like that Arnold wasn't like, no, like, we can solve the mystery. It wasn't actually either of your faults, right? It's just sort of like, hey, it could have been either of your faults. Really, it was neither of their faults. And now it's time that we just sort of like get over that, right? That feels like a much more realistic and grounded and emotionally true resolution to a story like this one.
And similarly, that one episode of Over the Garden Wall, where I don't know, for those who haven't seen Over the Garden Wall, but it both sides come to the correct consensus that this is just the way things are. We're not being haunted by something. This is just, you know, the way that our lives are. This is the way this is the way the world is. And now we can move on. There's nothing to be afraid of. Absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Except for one thing, which is my lone shout out for this episode. This particular episodes like this in cartoons and TV, as well as the movie Dumb and Dumber, did a lot to villainize laxatives. Not like actively, but definitely in the background. I like watching this movie brought back muscle memory of just like, man, laxatives are like a scary thing. You take one and just your guts spill out of your butt or something. Like I can't even reconcile what this is. And so shout outs to, you know, Craig and friends for scaring the bejesus out of me and maybe other kids who aren't quite sure what effects laxatives have on the body. That's all I have to say about laxatives. Thank you for that.
Good shout out, Cody. Shout out to Cody also for shouting out Over the Garden Wall, which is a fantastic series. Everyone should watch if you haven't already. I'm sure all Arnold fans would love it. I was just telling some friends about it the other week, and we're going to watch it soon. So, yeah, really, really great series. It's basically a movie. It's like, 90 minutes, but split into 10 parts?
Yeah, it's like it's under 2 hours, 10 episodes at like roughly 10-11 minutes a piece. It's beautiful, and it moves.
Yeah, the only problem is that it's like the best thing ever to watch in October. Don't wait, listener, if you haven't seen it, because it's worth seeing all over, like, all year. But it is, like, the most autumnal, like, Halloween story. Oh, it's so good to watch.
For sure. Also, would be good in November, though, I think, which is when I'll be rewatching. But any time of year, but for sure, a classic October watch. I just wanted to also shout out Mitski Miyawaki, the voice of our generation. I am like sitting across from my giant Mitski marquee that I made for her first dev show back in the day, back in 2018, for the Beat of the Cowboy tour. And I was trying really hard while doing this episode to not say Mitski instead of Mitzi. And now I'm messing it up right now, but I'm staring at a giant marquee with her name on it. Shout out Mitski always.
Yeah, this is great. We should have a new segment where we're like, hey, Arnold fans, we can recommend you some things that are going to make you really sad, like Over the Garden Wall and Mitski.
Things I've definitely never heard of.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
And also The National.
Yeah. And also
The
National.
The band,
yeah,
The classically. National.
Well, any other shout outs before we... Okay, well, perfect. I'm... you know, I'm in the mood to feel a little sad. So I'm going to just take a break, lay back on the couch, listen through Mitski's entire filmography, and then we'll get back into it. So don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 76B up next here, and that episode is called Synchronized Swimming. Original air date, October 16th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Arnold and the gang are part of a synchronized swimming team led by Coach Wittenberg. And once again, shouting out the folks who made this episode possible. For episode B, that was still Christine Kolosoff back directing this one, and Joseph Purdy, the Purd Man, got the writing credit for the 76B episode. So shout outs to them both. Let's kick it into high gear. Emily, let's start with you. What did you think about synchronized swimming?
Yeah, well, I just want to say, first of all, I think we have a great A-B episode with the Bartlett A and the Purdy B. Really fun episodes all around and some good messages. But in this one, we're mostly just having a blast, I think, with the kids swim team and Coach Wittenberg versus Coach Tish Wittenberg. They are now married. We think, or we're speculating in the launch party, that that's maybe why Tish is now also using words incorrectly in the way that Coach does. Or maybe she was doing that all along. No one can quite remember, but it's definitely pronounced in this episode in a funny way. And gee, I can't help but wonder if the message of this one is what Arnold says to the coach. You've got to find your sensitive side and inspire the team. You know, can you think of anything that's ever touched you or made you cry? I wonder if that might be some sort of lesson sprinkled into this one or what have you. But, yeah, also just super funny. I really think this is like Eugene's time to shine, too. He loves the dance moves and choreography. He's so excited about the possibility of a synchronized swim team. And he brings that enthusiasm that none of the other guys have, which I guess also brings me to another point of the like lesson here is just, guys, dudes, it's okay to be sensitive. It's okay to cry. It's okay to have stuff move you and to feel feelings and express those feelings. That's all human behavior, good stuff, and it shouldn't be shameful, like how society teaches the boys to be. So all of that aside, too, just yeah, a blast of an episode. I think each of the kids here on the team has some really funny moments. I love Coach's way of teaching them this. He first tries to get them into this competition with Tish, by showing them like a black and white artsy swimming video. And they're all like, oh man, like, what are you having us do? Harold's worried someone's going to call him. What does he say specifically? Like a little fruit cup sissy boned fat boy. And then Wolfgang calls him exactly that. Harold's really getting beat down with the fat jokes this season, the poor fella, but is taking it in stride and does not cease to make me laugh in every episode he's had this season, especially. And on that note, too, when they are getting into what does make them cry, what does give them some emotional core, it's this Wayne, come back, Wayne video that Coach was so moved by as a kid that he then shows the fellas to inspire them and then inspire their choreographed final swim meet. But Harold retelling what they had just watched, where he goes, oh man, and all the boys are crying. They have the tears flying off their faces, which is so funny in this animated program to see the characters crying. I just think they animate us in such a hilarious way. But Harold's retelling what they had just watched and going, the part with the boy and the horse and they ride away. Oh, Wayne. And it's like, it's just so, so freaking funny. He's killing me in this one, especially. And yeah, the music that Coach figures out, he's got to have this boldness, this adventureness, this sensitiveness. And by golly, do they pull it off. Their performance is so memorable and excellent. Love their outfits. They've got the matching cowboy outfits with the belt buckles around their swim trunks and the 10-gallon hats and red bandanas and boots, like they're dressed to the nines. Then you see Eugene stumble and trip over himself on the high dive for the final moment of this performance. And then falls straight down, gets Harold knocked down into the water with him, but then they miraculously return to the surface and it's such a triumph, at the end there. Shout out to Wayne, our guest as well, who we wished we could have had on. But couldn't due to tech issues. But Wayne, come back, Wayne, in the future of Stoop Kids, please. And I guess also the ending, maybe we can talk about that. The ending of the sexy coaches in the pool. Not sure about that for the kids show, but funny for the adults like us watching, I guess, or rewatching. Just like out of place, but funny also, I don't know. I want to hear what y'all think. This is quite a fun one.
Agreed. And I don't know, Emily, you don't think it's you think it's weird that at the end of the episode these two adult characters were in the pool? You think that's it was a little strange.
He said it, fellas. Folks,
I'll hold my tongue until I get to my part. A funny episode. And by that point, I was just, I was like, you know what? I'm not questioning it anymore. Because this is a wild one in a really good way, I think. Harry, would you agree with that? What did you think about this episode?
Yeah. This is an all-time classic, I think. It's definitely one of the most memorable from season four. It was one that I've been looking forward to since we started season four. I should address the Wayne that's not in the room, I suppose. We tried very hard to get beloved guest Wayne Stainrook to join us on this episode, but his computer had very recently broken down and he was left without an alternative. So yes, I would like to reiterate, come home, Wayne. Wayne, come home. Maybe we'll see him in season five. I sure hope so. I think that Emily characterized a lot of this really well. I especially like what you drilled into with the dynamics of the boys thinking that they're too cool to do something like synchronized swimming, or finding it sissy, or not wanting to be in touch with their emotions, and that being sort of the perfect foil for Coach Wittenberg, who himself also struggles with that, but is now so desperate that he has to find a way to break through to these boys. And in the meantime, they all sort of like learn that it not only is it okay to be in touch with your emotions, but it actually gives you I don't want to say like power, but it's awesome, right? It's like their resulting performance when they break through, it is camp, right? And it's ridiculous and it's a spectacle, but it's also awesome, right? Like they've got that awesome soundtrack going. They pull it all off amazingly. Maybe the most hype moment of the entire series is Eugene pulling off the high dive, because everybody references it, right? Like he's going up the high dive and everybody's like, why did we give this to Eugene? Like you're thinking it. Everybody in the crowd is thinking it. Coach Wittenberg is like, wait a minute, how did this happen? How did Eugene get this part? And then in classic Eugene fashion, he pulls it off even better, right? Because he does trip over himself, but even that and his emotional selling of that helps win the day. So I really love that this episode goes further to like not just say like, hey boys, like it's okay to show your emotions, it's okay to have emotions. It's also like it's awesome, right? Like it's unequivocally cool that they were able to do this, and everybody in the crowd is tearing up, including even Wolfgang, right? So there is this this lesson that like not only do your emotions come through, but actually like they will break through to other people, right? If you're earnest and you're honest about what you're feeling and why, and you're able to convey that, that will have an effect on people. I think that especially for like sensitive, artistic kids watching an episode like this, that's a really great takeaway. Even though, you know, I make it sound very emotional and very dramatic, it's not. It's a very funny episode, right? Because it's also a Coach Wittenberg episode. Maybe Coach Wittenberg's last episode, don't hold me to that. But that's the other thing I really like about this episode, is that much more so than even most of the season four episodes we've encountered so far, this is an episode with an explicit continuity, right? Like, the characters in this episode reference the last Coach Wittenberg episodes that they were part of. They were like, oh, this is always a problem, right? He always tries to get us to do some ridiculous team sport and join his crazy team. And then it cuts to Coach Wittenberg and he's like, so kids, I want you to join my crazy team. So what a great like number of Easter eggs this has for longtime watchers, right? I think even more so than season four, which is already sort of an episode or a season all about callbacks and reiterations on form, this is an episode that really nails it. And it's like maybe the best Coach Wittenberg episode. I really feel like all of the Coach Wittenberg episodes are good and they all explore a different aspect of his personality that is wanting. But there's something about like leaving the best for last and being like, okay, now the guy who's never emotional has to learn to be in touch with his emotions. And the way he does that is through the Come Home Wayne Western. It's just so good. This is just a great episode, I think. I love that it ends with the synchronized swimming. I agree with Emily that the what is it? It's like the mama's boy, sissy bone fat boy or something. I can't remember exactly what he calls him, but unfortunately, that joke
little
is also hilarious.
Cup.
Oh yeah, fruit cup. Mama's. Yeah, whatever it is. But like, I love that Harold isn't even like upset. He's just like, see, I told you that they would come up with that. Cause it's like, how could they possibly have come up with that? Anyway, it's a great episode. I was really glad to have it. I'm so sad that we don't get to hear Wayne himself's thoughts. Come home, Wayne. But we do get to hear Cody's thoughts, which are just as great. Cody, what do you got?
Firm disagree, but I'll give it a try. This episode's a real banger. And I guess I'll jump right on I think the biggest laugh that I've had for a little while now is when, yeah, that, jumble of an insult, that prophesized insult gets spoken aloud. And yeah, the fact that Harold's not even upset that he got called that, he was just so indignant of, you see, I told you, really, really brilliant, taps into the wild and manic and very extremely humorous energy of this episode. The fact that the well of emotion, the holy grail of emotion for these men is, it's like a Mad Libs. It's a movie about a horse that's walking into a sunset and the horse's name is Wayne and they're saying, come back, Wayne, come back, Wayne. Like that doesn't mean anything, but Coach Wittenberg, gives it so much power. And so it means something and like it's ridiculous, but, Coach Wittenberg's a ridiculous person. As it's been said, this episode taps into the, some meta textual elements with regards to that. It's referential about, you know, the basketball team and the pre, you know, not verbatim, but, you know, asking just like, man, this, remember this guy's antics? So, like, remember all the stuff that he gets us into, all the shenanigans? Like, remember this guy had an episode where he got married. Do you remember that? That was pretty weird. We were like, we were his groomsmen at his wedding. Isn't that strange? And the fact that it's Wittenberg, the fact that this is, as he says, the last coaching job in town, without me looking it up, you know, it gives the feeling that like we're towards the end of his sort of, his tenure on the show, which is kind of a bummer. Cause I would definitely watch, you know, a version of this show where Coach Wittenberg is a main character and every week we're exploring a new contest or a competition. And the fact that he doesn't care about this, he doesn't, you know, care about this particular activity. He's got a coach. He's got to do something. Like his heart's in it. So like he's got to win, right? Like he's so I don't know. And yeah, the fact that we ended up spinning up, you know, perhaps, one of the best, if not the best Coach Wittenberg episode as a result of, you know, it's not basketball. It's not bowling. It's not a relationship that he's competing in. It's, water, ballet or synchronized swimming, all the different things that they referred it to. I don't really know what else to say. The climax of the episode is such a huge big swing that as soon as we watch that dumb horse story movie flashback thing. I knew exactly what episode this was. This occupied such a brilliant but oft ignored corner of my brain when I went back and thought back on previous Hey Arnold episodes. And I'm really glad to have found it again because it's really, really grand.
Same.
Yeah. Two things. First of all, I really, really love the idea that Coach Wittenberg could be like the Coach McGurk of Hey Arnold, where he's just constantly like there and kind of making a nuisance of himself. That's a very funny idea. Also, I love that. I think, Cody, you brought this up when we first started talking about Coach Wittenberg, but I love that all of the Coach Wittenberg episodes are also legitimately full of pretty useful tips for coaching itself, right? Like, I love that in this one, like, coaching is basically about creating a safe space where these characters don't feel ashamed or afraid to express themselves, right? It's like Arnold and eventually Coach Wittenberg, they help create this place where the kids feel comfortable crying. And the show portrays it as ridiculous, definitely, right? It's very humorous, but that humor is never punching down. It's never making fun of anybody, right? Like, I don't think... Like, yes, the situation itself is absurd, but it's only absurd in the sense that sort of like very oftentimes the things that make us feel the most emotional are absurd and maybe don't make a lot of sense. But it's never saying that like Coach Wittenberg being emotional about this horse movie is stupid or silly, right? I think it very pointedly never gets there, right? In fact, it celebrates that emotion that he has, ridiculous though it may be in the context of what it is, as something that is nevertheless powerful enough to win them this competition, right? To bring them together as a team, right? It's like, it doesn't matter if you think that this is silly, right? Or if you think that your emotions are sort of like worth being ashamed of, they're real and they're valid and they're worth expressing, right? And I think that that's like a really great takeaway for coaches and for teams and for people in general, right? Like I just find something so like hilariously triumphant about the synchronized swimming at the end and the fact that they're able to walk that line, right? Where it's like laugh out loud funny throughout. Like their entire performance is really, really funny and really great. But it's also like an absolute triumph, right? We're not laughing at them. We're laughing at the fact that, or with the fact that they were able to create something that is this expressive and exciting and hilarious. And I really, really like that about this episode as well.
Yeah, the fellows were able to overcome the toxic masculinity and the patriarchy, essentially.
That's exactly right.
I think Purdy and the writers and everyone do a great job of like underlining too all of the, especially through Wolfgang's character, like being calling those characters sissies, and the guys really at the beginning like being so embarrassed to even consider this as a sport or as an activity that they would be involved in, and then coming full circle to the point where like Stinky's writing the swim moves on his arm because he wants to get all the choreography right, and Harold is just like kind of getting really into character with the horse, the inflatable horse costume, and they just pull it off so well, and they're all into it, and even if it's silly or whatever, I don't know, I love that. I think Wolfgang's a great bully character here to just kind of highlight the silliness of toxic masculinity.
Yeah, and you know, we're all about breaking down barriers on Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. What are, to the best of your recollection, what are the last movies that each of y'all shed real live tears to? I think the last one I can think of, and this is a movie that a few of us here covered on a different podcast, but Forever a Woman from director Kenio Tanaka from 1955. Heart-wrenching and devastating. I cried some real tears to that. Just to vamp a little, to give y'all time to think, one other movie watching event that I still think about a few years on. It's a movie I watched in quarantine for the first time. It's called They Shoot Horses, Don't They? And it was not just a movie.
Oh my God.
They Shoot Horses, Don't They? Not merely a movie providing like a sad situation, but also like broke me down emotionally and mentally and spiritually. It's a movie about capitalism, so there's a lot to be sad about. It's extremely great and effective. So Yeah. Hey, yeah. For those brief moments, I got in touch with my emotional side and I was good at sports as a result. Emily, what movies did the trick for you?
Great question, Cody. I just teared up the other day seeing this documentary that was by Sam Green called 32 Sounds. They were playing it at the Walker Art Center. It was fantastic. It was just like a really, really cool documentary on all different types of sounds, basically different types of recording sounds in our world and music and how important all of that is to us from the time we're just in the womb until, you know, we're fully fledged human beings. It was really, really touching. And there were so many like very, heartstring tugging stories throughout it. And so I was tearing up, especially during any of the more emotional sides of it. And I'd highly recommend it.
Wow, that's awesome. Emily, I want to check that out immediately. Man, this is sort of unfair. I feel like I've cried at most of the movies I've watched recently. Just the other night, Cody and I watched Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. I didn't cry during that movie, but there is an action scene that is set to Nessun Dorma from Turandot, the opera. And after we finished watching and I was alone again, I did turn on Pavarotti's version of it. And I defy anyone not to cry when it gets to the operatic swell at the end of that. It's one of the best pieces of music ever recorded. I just saw Decision to Leave, the Park Chan-wook movie. That one got me a little misty-eyed at a couple of different points. I cry a lot while watching movies because I'm okay with my emotions, clearly. Right. Anybody wants to do a synchronized swimming routine to Decision to Leave? I think there are some very, very fascinating things we could do with that. Many of the murders would lend themselves very well, I think. Spoilers for that movie to a synchronized swim routine. So hit me up if you're interested in that.
And Harry, I think we were both tearing up at watching Cleo from 5 to 7.
Oh yeah, definitely.
By Agnes Varda. Fantastic film. If you have never seen it, I would definitely check that out too.
In particular, the scene when she sings in her apartment gets me every single time. That scene is incredibly affecting.
Huh. Beautiful. Hey, there you go. We got in our movie watch shout-outs and recommendations. We surpassed our weekly quota, which you love to see, and hopefully you love to see if anybody listening to this checks any of those titles out. I suppose I will transition into lingering shout-outs, kind of last thoughts for the episode. The one thing I wanted to call out, the Wolfgang, the plot point of him taping them and sort of lingering in the background and sort of, you know, laughing at their, you know, what it is they're doing, specifically the taping of them dancing in the gym or whatever it is they were. It flashed me back to my middle school days. I avoided the infamous, like when you're in gym class, there's like, you learn to, I can't remember what dancing was. I want to say it was like ballroom dancing or something like that. There was one year where they like videotaped a specific, like not my gym class, but some other gym class where like they were learning to do it, like these seventh graders. And then in the morning announcements, they like played a tape of that. So that was like being broadcast to the entire school.
That's against the Geneva Conventions, surely.
They're in federal prison now. The people who broadcast that
as they should be.
In retrospect, like I don't know how much I thought of it in the moment, other than like, whew, glad it's not me. But in retrospect, yikes, that's an unfortunate core memory for preteens.
At least they didn't choose a particularly difficult year for young growing people to release that humiliating tape. Seventh grade, you know, at least they didn't go with one that was especially awful.
Right. Everybody is famously well adjusted when they're 12 years old. Yeah, that's a really good point. I'll open the. That's my one shout out. So I'll yield the floor to y'all.
That was great. I have too many shout-outs. Shout-out to Boys Ping Pong in 1987. They must have won the champs because they have a big banner up in the gym. would love to be on the ping pong team. That idea in general is just funny that there'd be a ping pong team. Shout out to Coach when he screams at the boys, "Dance better!" Just like a great line. Shout out to Tish when she says the different ways of syncratic, syncopatic. However, her and her husband are trying to say synchronized swimming. Also, she says something like penultimate loop, and I think she's using it wrong. And that reminded me of my own misuse of the word penultimate in our Stoop Kids episode of Stoop Kids, which I think about way too much because that was definitely the wrong use of the word. That was not our second to last episode, but my dad uses the word penultimate a lot in the way of meaning just ultimate. And I guess similarly to a Coach Wittenberg-like figure in my own life. So apologies if that caused any confusion back in season one. And also shout out to Sid for his great delivery in the gym as well when he's going, "We hate this music and we don't know what this swimming is about." Just super funny. All the guys are great in this episode.
Shout outs to Emily for carrying that around with her for all of these seasons, which again, I think we talked about at the time. It's like, I don't even think it registered. I was just like, oh yeah, sure. Ultimate. Like I immediately knew what you meant and I just completely moved past it, but it's so funny. And like, I think I have similar, things that follow me around, of course. So, solidarity, and it was not the mistake you think it is. But I wanted to say shout out to Tish as well. I love that Tish's role in this is, and I apologize for bringing up the weird ending again, but like she and Coach Wittenberg have this very weird psychosexual dynamic, right? Where like she has to sort of goad him into, being like competitive in order to bring out the good sides of him that she wants to see more. Like very clearly she was like, "Coach, I want you to be more emotional in our relationship and express yourself better." She couldn't just say that to him. She had to be like, "You're never going to be able to coach this synchronized swimming team because you would have to be emotional and you aren't emotional." And he's like, "Oh, I'm going to show you." So I really love that she like leads him around that way. And at the end, right, like she gets exactly what she was looking for because he does express himself emotionally in that public pool after hours at the end of this episode of children's television. So shout outs to the Wittenbergs, little freaks, if ever there were two.
Yeah, but I don't know. Let them have their fun.
Oh, they're great. You know, they're like, so charming. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. I love that ping pong call. It makes me wise and subsequently depressed to the fact that I don't think I've played ping pong since before the pandemic.
Dude.
My old job had a ping pong table in the office, and damn, grew up playing a lot of tennis. I feel like I'm pretty able ping pong player.
We should go play ping pong. Player.
Yeah, there's that ping pong bar in Uptown or something.
I think that's
still open.
We'd love to join the PS118 team.
Yeah, I think that the PS118 1986 ping pong team, that was actually what inspired Masaki Yuasa's ping pong, right? I think that's about the PS118 team in 1986, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, hey, that's something.
They walked so Forrest Gump could run.
and run he did. Oh, mercy. I'll pause here. Emily, did you have anything from that AMA that you could find about that one scene, or should we just roll past that?
Oh, we could roll past that, but okay. I will say one more shout out to Wolfgang, just for going, "This is so totally excellent." Like he's freaking Wayne's World Wayne and not come back Wayne.
Wow. Another great Wayne to end on, and another great film to end on. A film that has probably made me tear up just from how happy it makes me, and from, you know, similarly how happy this endeavor makes me. This little project that we embarked on, where we're over 3/4 of the way towards watching and discussing every episode of Hey Arnold. So if you're listening to this, Thank you for joining us on our journey, and thank you for listening to this particular episode of Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody _BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Sui. You can find me at Stoop Kids Pod.
That's right. And just remember, oh, jumping Jehoshaphat, who let one?